This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning and welcome to Drive Through Radio. Car care for you right here on AM 790. I'm Adam Zangari, along with my dad, Paul.
Good morning.
His little brother, John.
How you doing, Paul?
And our producer, Brett Ferruccio.
Good morning.
Yeah,
Thank you, Uncle John.
The guy that was talking to you. Hey there.
Now, these guys are here to answer your car questions, so don't be shy and call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
You know, some of the things we expect to be talking about on the show today have to do with the fact why, frankly, we are really thankful in the Zangari family on this Thanksgiving. We're thankful that we are all still here. Because there was quite a close call last week that that we'll tell you a little bit about. Mm-hmm. Also, something that was in the news, and by the way, Jim Roop in Los Angeles, I believe his first name really is James, although you might wonder if his first name is Reginald or Ronnie or Al.
Or if his first name is Jim.
Well, no, the reason
you
why
could
is...
go by a nickname.
Well, no, the reason why is...
I wouldn't wonder about any of those.
You would if you were in my seat, and I'll tell you why. Because Jim does a lot of work for us from our Los Angeles bureau, and everything that comes from Jim, they don't do this with any other guy. They put our Jim Roop, O-U-R, reports from Los Angeles, as opposed to just Jim Roop. He's our Jim Roop. If you were to read it out that way, it sounds like our Jim Roop. Yeah, but anyway, Jim's going to be along with the story about Tesla's new tractor trailer, the semi trailer, the electric truck. We'll have a little bit of that coming up.
Yeah, it's probably the trailer part is probably not theirs.
It looks like in their publicity pictures that they have trailers that are, you know, closely matched to the truck.
They might have
to the cab
made by one of the typical truck.
A company that makes, yeah, like Fruhoff. Yeah, Fruhoff's the first one that comes to mind. Yeah. Fruhoff, you know the color green on my Corvair? I think that's a Fruhoff.
Yeah,
I think it's a Fruhoff color. When I painted it, I was looking for...
Really?
Yeah, I was looking for a non-metallic dark green, kind of like a British racing green, mm-hmm. but a little bit different. And back in the day, Pawtucket Auto Supply had all the fleet colors and everything else.
Yep, okay.
And I picked that one out. That's why I'm having a hard time matching it today.
You won't see a lot of it anyway because so many trailers are just the aluminum body color, mill finish.
Yeah, many of them are now, as opposed to when they used to get painted more often. The other thing that I think is worth talking about is considering the fact we've been getting away with murder weather-wise, but it is past it's past the middle of November. I mean, Thanksgiving is next week.
You know, all winter long, when they predict rain, everybody's going, yay!
Yeah, I know. But our friends at AccuWeather came up with a few tips on how to make it a little bit easier to live with your car the following morning when there is, messy precipitation expected the night before.
Put it in the garage.
Yeah, not everybody has that option.
I know.
Yep, so a couple of tips from AccuWeather. We'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, as Adam mentioned, we do take your car care calls because John and I can really give you a hand on that stuff. John's been a certified master automotive technician for a very long time. He's taught a lot of people who are actually pros in the auto service industry. I'm a member of the Society of Automotive Engineers, and I have been a certified automotive technician in some of the areas. I didn't go all the way like John did, but...
And I know nothing.
And Adam's learning how to drive, so...
Not quite yet. A couple weeks.
Yeah, a little bit of parking lot practice every now and then doesn't hurt.
It doesn't.
But. Yep. But at any rate, that's why we're here on Saturday morning to say that if you got a car care question, give us a holler. And Adam, the numbers are...
The numbers are 401-437-5000 and 1-888-345-0790.
Now back to in the news, the Tesla truck. I think why don't we start the whole thing off with our Jim Roop in L.A.
Tesla Motors founder Elon Musk says his new electric semi-truck first can travel 500 miles on a single charge. That's at full weight and full highway speeds, and standard routes are half that range.
It means that you can go to your destination and back without recharging.
It can go up a 5% grade at 65 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 20 seconds, with 80,000 pounds of load. That's the max allowed on U.S. highways. It can earn 50% more per mile over a diesel truck. He also says he'll be installing mega chargers that can provide a 400-mile charge in just 30 minutes. Production begins in 2019. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Now, what Jim was talking about, those numbers that he was giving, that's with a driver in the truck.
Right. Okay.
This I know you had a comment about the fact that Walmart's ordering 15 of them already.
Yeah, and they want the driver. They're going to want the driverless version.
Yeah.
And that, of course, you know, a couple of things about autonomous vehicles, but I can go on for a while on that. But I want to mention about the electric part of the truck.
Well, let's break it down one at a time. Go with your driverless point first.
Oh, well, they're not going to sell a lot of these trucks.
Not to owner-operators, that's for sure.
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can only drive 10 hours on the highway and the interstate.
Right.
Yeah, well, a driverless truck can drive all day, all night,
right,
except for, well, gassing up or fueling up, whether it's electricity or diesel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that means a company that has a fleet of 20 trucks is only going to probably need 10.
Yeah. I'm having a tough time following it. I think I know what you mean.
And the other thing is, too, car companies are going to put themselves out of business.
Well, are you thinking what I'm thinking, like, about Henry Ford and what his great idea was in the early Model T era? If I pay my guys enough to be able to buy them, we'll all be successful.
Yeah, but
he did.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing.
The point that I'm making is it's just the opposite direction here. Is if Walmart buys these trucks and decides to go driverless, they'll have fewer employees. Fewer people will be able to buy things at Walmart or anywhere else.
And there'll be a lot of people who won't be happy with Walmart. and the other thing, though, is that for driverless cars, you can have a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
To buy a driverless car.
Yep.
And one car could
share the ride.
Service 2, 3, 4 families.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to put themselves out of business that way.
Well, yeah, but the reason why the car companies are doing it themselves is because they know that if they don't, somebody else will. And the only way to stay in business is maybe with diminished sales, but still having some.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. They're wishful thinking.
Yeah, who knows? We'll have to see how this plays out. Adam, why don't we go into a break?
Let's go to...
And then we'll talk to Bobby.
All right, Bobby will get
you. Oh, wait a minute. It looks like Bobby's kind of in a hurry. So go ahead.
Time.
All right, we're here. So go ahead, intro.
All right.
Bobby.
Welcome to the show, Bobby.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a 2012 Jeep Liberty.
Yep.
And when I take off sometimes in the morning, I can hear like a knocking noise.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
you don't open the door and let him in.
when I step on the gas and I'm doing 50, 60, you don't hear anything. I don't hear any knocking or.
You don't, or you do. You do or you don't.
When you say you're going, are you talking about going steadily down the road, or are you talking about accelerating from 50 or so?
Oh, just steadily down the road. Or even if I accelerate to a higher speed, you know, if I jump on the highway, I hear nothing.
You're only hearing the knocking under which conditions? Let's try to isolate it as best we can here.
Yeah.
When is it that you're hearing the knocking?
I tell you, it's very funny because I brought it to a mechanic.
Yeah.
Mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 times, and every time I bring it there, it doesn't make the noise.
Right. Go ahead.
You only hear the noise on cold startup, is that correct? After you've started it up, then you hear the noise until the car gets warmed up or almost warmed up, and the noise is going away, and you don't hear it at any other time?
Well, even when the car's warmed up, at certain times, I can hear it, especially like if I step on the gas and hold the brake.
Yeah.
Then I can hear it, but it doesn't do it all the time.
A qualified mechanic will have to hear the noise, because if they can't hear the noise, they probably are not going to be able to tell what type of noise it actually is. And when you say you hear it when it's cold startup, there's two things that I'm thinking about. Either the oil is not getting there when it early, quick enough, or it's something that's happened to lots of cars, some very new, and it's called piston slop.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you're saying that. I was thinking the same thing. And the other thing I was thinking, Bobby, when you were talking about this, was you probably had the 3.7. And
right.
Sure enough, I went in and Googled Chrysler 3.7 piston slop, and there is this Jeep KJ forum. KJ is the series Jeep that your Liberty is. And there's a guy asking if anyone else has this, and he describes just what you're talking about. And, you know, John and I were thinking the same thing, piston slap. We haven't seen anything else in it. Well, wait a minute. There are a few responses. It seems to be typical. They say can happen to any kind of Jeep. I'm just looking at it. Our own experience with piston slap is that it's something you can live with.
Yeah, piston slap, once it happens, it doesn't go away on its own.
Other than, pistons expand as they warm up, and it goes away for that trip.
And that part of the trip.
Yeah.
But it will reoccur
when the engine gets cold.
Randomly, yeah. And consistently, depending on the vehicle.
And this fellow was talking about the fact, he says, it happens when it gets below 50 at night, which all fits.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Car manufacturers, in a lot of cases, can't fix it.
Mm.
And it's because the way they designed the vehicle, they had these certain tolerances, and the only way would be to redesign the engine. But in most cases, piston slap never does anything more than just make that noise.
Yeah, and you remember, it might have been in the green Chevelle. I had a Chevy 6, inline 6.
No, you had it in a V8,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, but no, the point that I'm making is that I had... I think it was a 230 Chevy 6 that had piston slap, and I took it apart, measured everything. Nothing was really very far out of spec. I put it back together, drove it another couple of years until I sold the car. The guy who bought it didn't have any trouble with it either.
Yeah, and so some people try to mask piston slap with a thicker oil, but I don't suggest doing that.
No, because then in the cold
weather. It could cause other problems.
Exactly, like in the cold weather, if you have the thick oil, it takes it longer to circulate. Yeah. You're getting less protection of the moving parts.
You might want to try a synthetic oil if you don't have it in there, and I'd say go to the thickest recommended and see if that happens with synthetic oil,
yeah.
Because thick synthetic oil should pump just as easy as the thin synthetic oil.
For example, what John's telling you, Bobby, if it shows on your oil filler or in your manual to use, let's say
5W20,
right? 5W20 or 5W30. In some cases, you could use 0W30, but don't. Use the highest numbers that are appropriate for your engine.
Yeah, at the low end, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And as listed, the manual or on your filler cap.
Yeah, it's 520.
520, all right. Well,
yeah, and if it says in your owner's manual you could use 1030, then I'd say try it. But if it doesn't say it, don't do it.
Right. Then go with what it says on the cap. Like I say, unless the manual countermands it.
And also in the manual, it might say give you a temperature range that you could use that 1030.
Yeah.
And that might be in Florida in the summer.
Yeah. But the case in point here, Bobby, is that piston slap, which is what it sounds like to us, is something that you can usually live with for a long time.
But so, be sure that a qualified mechanic hears the noise and can tell you.
And it verifies, it sounds like piston slap to me.
And probably the only way they're going to do that is leave the car
overnight
on a cold day, sleeps outside.
All right.
Yeah, well, I went to one mechanic and we drove. When I first got there, noise didn't make it. Went for a ride about a half hour, and then it started making that noise.
Really?
But he was sitting in the car,
yeah.
And he said, yeah, you need a motor.
Well,
I'd try somebody else.
Yeah, I would get a second opinion,
yeah.
But if he's right, drive it till you really need a motor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like he was sitting in the car saying, yeah. I need a motor.
Yeah, well.
You know, and listen to it.
You know, when they say you need a new lung.
Yeah,
or a heart, I'd go to a different doctor
right,
first.
Right, but again, so, you know, why spend the money before you have to? If it turns out you're going to need one, I don't think you're going to need it tomorrow. You might need it 6, 10, 12, 24 months from now. All right, good luck, Bobby. Thanks for the call.
All right, we're going to head to break now, guys, but you don't have to take a break from us because we have podcasts online at 790business.com.
Hey,
go on and check us out there.
I just had to say, look. It's a Chrysler product, Volare.
Yeah, the Fly.
Our music is all messed up right now, but a car song. All right, Brett.
We'll be back after this.
Away from the maddening crowds, we can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind.
You're a person.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, where we have a story to tell, and it's not
trailer
exactly a happy
for
one.
Well, actually, it is.
Well, it is, in the end. But,
yeah,
like,
it is.
It's not exactly...
Yeah, yeah. Last weekend, it was Karen's and my 20th anniversary, and now that Adam is old enough that, you know, he can be at home for a couple days with just the cat to take care of him. oh, wait a minute, it's the other way around. we decided to go out to the Berkshires, and we just had a wonderful time. Found a nice inn, which, by the way, Arlo Guthrie, I think, was a part owner of it one time. It was,
oh, really?
It was the final location of Alice's restaurant.
Ah.
The funny thing is, there are a number of places in Lenox and Stockbridge that, you know, Alice's restaurant was here. Because they moved it around a little bit.
As they got
more successful, they got better locations. Yeah, yeah.
Better, bigger,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, so... So anyway, it was quite nice. But at any rate, and the area is beautiful. But we were getting ready to come home on Sunday, and well, I can tell you what happened at around 2:20, because I went back and looked at my cell phone and found that I called 911 at 2:24. We were coming down Route 20. We were headed south on Route 20 on our way to the Mass Pike. We got to this intersection where there's a road on the right that comes from the house, the mansion, where Edith Wharton, the novelist, lived like 100 or so years ago. And as we're approaching the intersection, there's a Toyota Prius, not one of yours, John, but yeah, it was a black Prius, and he's got a stop sign and a flashing light, and he isn't doing anything other than continuing to go, and he was going to come right into the side of our car. He probably would have hit us right where Karen was sitting. Luckily, I saw him in time, you know, to take some kind of evasive action, which was hit the brake hard and let the ABS do its thing. You know, so we slowed down quite fast without losing any control. And then I turned a little bit because I had to turn to the left, because turning to the right was a much sharper turn than a left turn. And the cars wound up meeting kind of in a glancing blow. So, you know, it's much safer to meet at an angle that isn't 90 degrees. And, well, what it comes down to is Adam got to see Mom and Dad again, although he'll never see Mom's Honda Pilot again. you know, so, but yeah, so you wound up coming out to pick us up at a very nice place.
Yeah, pretty neat old place.
Yeah, the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge, which, by the way, is kind of like the anchor building in a very famous Norman Rockwell painting about Main Street Stockbridge.
Mm-hmm.
We had to leave the Pilot behind, managed to get everything out of it, except I found out that the Bluetooth hands-free that I usually keep in the Corvair, but I had put in the Pilot for the trip, that's still in Stockbridge or Lenox or something. But there is one absolutely Twilight Zone aspect to this whole thing, because as we're driving around and enjoying ourselves in that whole area in the Berkshires,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, boy, you know, by this time next year, the Corvair ought to be, you know, nice. And wouldn't it be nice to be riding around here in that? The spot where we got hit back in September, an eyewitness to our crash let us know that his friend was killed in the exact same location when somebody ran the same stoplight, a stop sign, and flashing red light. And he was driving an early model Corvair.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to get Karen into the Corvair to head to the Berkshires.
Well, probably not.
No way.
And speaking of Corvairs...
It's just like, you know, I never take Dexter Rock Road. Because John was hit driving Mom's Corvair in, 1969 by a dump truck on Dexter Rock Road.
There are ways to get around Dexter Rock Road.
By the way, I've driven on Dexter Rock Road since then.
Well, I've driven on Dexter Rock Road, but not in the Corvair.
Well, I haven't either since I don't have one.
Anymore. Until last year. Didn't go anywhere.
But speaking of Corvairs, there's an interesting ad on TV Farmers Insurance, where there's this parade going on, and they've got the fireman or something, Mr. Fire, somebody.
Yeah, a character that's supposed to be a flame.
Yeah. And he's sitting in the back seat on top of the roof.
The folded top of the convertible.
Folded top of the Corvair convertible. And the Corvair's on fire in the engine compartment, and there's flames coming out. Mm-hmm. And so farmers covered it. They know it because they covered it, they said.
Yeah.
And then they go to their strange coverage museum.
Yeah.
And that car in the parade was an
early
model.
It was a 63. I could tell by the moldings that you could see.
Early model.
Yeah.
And in the museum,
it was a 65.
Was
the late model.
Late model. Totally different body style. I just figured I'd have to mention that. It's like, okay, we don't have to get the exact year, but new model versus old model.
Yeah, well, you know what happened. I think somebody just called for a brazier made out of a Corvair, but didn't specify which. And, you have two units working on, you have the in-the-field unit versus the unit, and they got the years mixed up.
Yeah.
But I remember, I used to see that commercial a lot when it first came out. Then it sort of went away.
This is the first time I've seen it.
Oh, when did you see it?
This week.
Oh, all right, because I had seen it a lot about a month ago. It seemed like it just hit, and they were playing it like crazy, and then I didn't see it again. But, yeah, I was noticing the same thing. It's kind of funny. And like I say, I think I know how it happened, just the two different units. We're using a Corvair.
That kind of thing.
Yep.
So
I've never seen one used as a fireplace before, or a fire pit.
Well, yeah, that would be an interesting thing. Well,
you know
that
what?
Many people have made, I'll call them park benches out of tailgates.
Yeah, or even trunks.
Yeah, but a lot of times they cut the back like foot and a half off of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Reverse the tailgate and flip the whole thing around.
Yeah, and then put cushions on it, and they've got themselves a little settee, if you will. But but did you see what just happened?
His chair just dropped. Yeah,
I just dropped about 8 inches here. Anyway, yeah.
That is really low off the ground.
I'm surprised yours went up that high, because most of the chairs in here don't go up very high at all.
It's gone to its default position.
Because it's a low table.
Yeah.
So the chairs are low.
But to begin with,
you look like a little kid sitting out of the high chair for the first time at a restaurant.
Thank you, little boy. My little boy, he's 6'2". Actually, I was thinking, as you were saying that, I could have sold them the back half of a Corvair. That's all I have left in late model stuff, is the back half of a 65 Corsa.
How nice.
Yeah. Well, too late now. That ship's already sailed. Anyway. Hey, I guess it's time to do one of these things.
I guess it's time to go to break. And you know how much these guys love to talk. And, hey, they'd love to talk to you. So come on and call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Young to quit, too old to change. Baby, what am I gonna do? I got track top slammed out, 49 Mercury Blues.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, where being the tallest guy here by 4 inches will not stop everything from flying over my head.
4 inches? Wait a minute.
About that? How tall
are
you?
Well, let's see, 5'11", 6". Yeah.
He's going to be a car salesman.
Although I've shrunken. Yeah. You mean just a little exaggeration?
Yeah.
Okay. Since when am I going to be a car salesman?
Why? You don't know anything about cars.
Exactly.
An awful lot.
I see.
Many do, but
I don't know anything
all.
About jokes either, apparently.
Evidently. Oh, boy. Hey, I mentioned a little bit earlier about our friends at AccuWeather having some tips, on driving, or Well, what I had mentioned was getting ready for a storm.
Yeah, it's called Route 95, head south.
No. In other words, you're here. We're going to have some sleet during the night. You want to minimize your scraping in the morning, for example?
Yeah, and you don't have a garage.
Well, one of the things, hey, why not take those plastic shopping bags you can't get in Barrington and put them put them on your side view mirrors? You know, just tie them around your mirrors and then untie them in the morning when you're ready to go.
And what's that going to do for your windshield?
Well, that's I'm starting with the mirrors, because that one is, duh, of course. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Depending on what you have in the way of mats and whether or not it's going to be windy, you know, you can lie mats over your windshield and
clean the sand out of them.
Well, you have to be careful about that. Or you might just pick up a few, cheap ones and have them for that on purpose, dedicated to that. It depends on, whether or not there's wind or what you can put on them to keep them from blowing away. But if it's just going to be, every now and then we get that kind of weather where essentially it's frozen fog.
Right.
That'll work just nicely.
If you tie the bags around your rear view mirrors, and you like to have a good looking car, your car's going to look like trash.
Only at night when no one can see it. Okay. One thing that they also point out, by the way, echoing something we've said for a long time, they found some experts near them in Pennsylvania that, told them the same thing we've been saying. It's not good for your car to let it idle before you leave. The warm-up is not only not necessary, it's just not a good idea.
I've said that for a long, long time, but I do say that if you have to clean that windshield, well, then
that's
you gotta.
Exactly.
But for your comfort, no, you're not important.
Yeah.
The
safety is, but as far as, letting the engine warm up, well, no. What you're doing is you're giving, well, in fact, this is why remote starters are so big. People push the button, and they've got it set so that when the car starts, the heater will come on, and they just let it run until it's been running long enough that there's actually some heat in the engine for the heater to send into the passenger
compartment. That actually works. It's a big waste of gas, though.
It's a big waste of gas, and you know what the other thing is? You get in the car assuming it's fully warmed up and ready to roll. Yeah, the engine's nice and warm, but some of the other components may not be.
The transmission?
The oil in the differential is still thick, too, and stuff like that. You do need to drive off gingerly anyway.
Right. Right. No, I have a neighbor whose truck doesn't run all that great when it's cold, so he lets it run for a long time. And I think once or twice he did ask me about how come he gets such lousy gas mileage.
Because you're getting zero MPG sitting there.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. I guess your comfort matters, but it's not the most important thing.
All right. Anyway, we got someone on line one. Larry from West Warwick. Welcome to Drive Through Radio.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Wait a minute. I have to say the name of that old TV show.
2014 Toyota RAV automatic. It's got the with the Eco, the Start, and the Sport and Normal. In the reverse, when I go to back up in reverse, it seems to jerk fast. I can just barely touch the gas. It moves. And just touch a little bit more, and it speeds back. It seems I never had a car that did this backed up this fast before.
Well, I will tell you that you must not have owned one old enough, because they used to do that quite often with the choke system that would go bad. And there's no choke system in this car.
No.
And that power, economy, and normal buttons got zero to do with it as far as what the engineers have planned. If it had anything to do with it, it would be considered a malfunction.
Mm.
All right? And I'm going to say that if you put it in reverse and it backs up way too fast, and you put it in forward and it doesn't take off too fast, there is a problem.
There have been a few vehicles I've driven, and some of them were relatively new that just, it's funny, it seemed as if they would pick up speed I don't know. It didn't seem like the engine was idling any faster in reverse, but they were just raring to go when you stuck it in R.
Right.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's what you're up against.
I don't know if it's... if I understand, the eco mode doesn't really do much except what? Just takes the load off the air conditioner?
No. It also, when you press on the gas pedal, let's say you press down an inch, and I just using this for argument's sake, if you press down it, your foot down an inch, it would make the car accelerate a little less, because what happens is the throttle plate won't open as far.
Right.
But if you were in power and you press down that same inch, the throttle plate would open more. And there's no connection mechanically between your foot and the throttle plate.
Yeah, it's called drive-by-wire.
Yeah, the information goes from that sensor on the pedal to the computer, and the computer decides how much to open up the throttle plate, how much fuel to put in, how much spark advance or retard to do. In all aspects, it decides what to do.
In other words, that button is tailoring the response to your input on the pedal.
It's called a different program.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got three positions,
right?
Eco and
power,
there's nothing in the middle. So.
Yeah, that's called normal.
That's normal. Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
At one time, Toyota had three buttons, and for some reason, they figured out you don't need the middle button.
Right.
You just push the two in
together,
and
it defaults to the normal, average,
whatever
you want to call it.
So they don't need that middle button.
But there might be something wrong if it's going back too fast.
Yeah,
be reprogrammed the computer or something.
Don't think so. I would think there might be a sensor that is not reading correctly and it's throwing in a default. I don't believe that there's any reason for it to have to back up
Fast.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And the engine shouldn't be racing reverse, and that would be the terminology.
But, you know, what's interesting about that, too, what John was talking about, is if a technician goes and hooks up a scanner to it, he's not likely to find anything amiss. You don't have a check engine light on.
No.
But you may be getting some information that's telling the engine to race when it should have, when it shouldn't. And the way that a technician is going to find that is to look for what information is coming out of the computer, or in some cases, look what's going into it that's really telling it.
The check serial data is what they use the words.
That's the terminology.
Because if it's stone cold and it's doing this only when it's stone cold,
obvious.
And you put it in forward, and
it doesn't
take off. Well, maybe it does, and you don't realize it because you're really stepping on the gas pedal anyway.
Yeah.
Make sure that's not the case.
That's a good point. In other words, leave it at idle, trying it in both directions.
Yeah, and see and do it right away when it's cold, like right when it's
As soon as you start the car up on a colder morning, I think tomorrow it's supposed to be in the 20s when we get up, so that'd be a good time to try
it. Yeah, today was like 31 or something like that.
All right?
Yep. Okay, guys.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, anyway, guys, we're going to head to break, and if you have a problem like Bobby or Larry had today, it would serve you well to listen to our podcast online at 790business.com. There you can find records of our old shows, and our show today will be up there soon enough.
Because Brett is fast.
He
is. He really is.
Drive Through Radio will be right back after this.
Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio. Where are you getting a call now?
What's that?
You getting a call?
I'm getting a call. No, about... Okay. Because, that's a ringtone. No, that's my short version of it.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know what? I'd skip the library, too, if I could drive around in an
outburger.
Bird.
Yeah, right. Anyway, earlier in the show, we were talking
and
about...
And a hamburger stand sounds nice, too.
Yeah,
that too.
But, Adam, you haven't been to California yet. There is a very successful hamburger chain there, the name of which, to me, suggests indigestion.
I have heard stories of In-N-Out.
In-N-Out
Burger. I really
do
want to go there.
Yeah. From everyone tells me they're really, really good, but the first time I drove by one, I said, I was like, no.
You got to order off the secret menu when you go to In-N-Out.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, a lot of the good items, or the local items, they claim, are on the secret menu, which is not published. So you want to get your burger animal style, which is not always on the menu.
Uh-huh.
And that's like this mayonnaise, Thousand Island-ish sauce that they just smother over everything with onions in it. It's delicious. I'm a fan of In-N-Out. It's been getting a lot of heat lately.
I want to try it next time I'm out.
No, just certain celebrities have tried it for the first time. Yeah. I forget, some NBA player tried it for the first time and was like, this is garbage. So.
Oh, come on. Animal style. What do they make the burger out of?
Exactly. They are extremely fresh, though, burgers and fries. It's delicious. I'm a big fan.
Oh, my cousin Rich, who lives out there, loves them.
Most people swear by it. Yeah, they like it. But there are some haters, as always.
Yeah, I just, like I say, the name kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But anyway, earlier in the show, we were talking about the new trucks from Tesla, the tractor trailers that seem to be getting, advanced orders. They're due out the year after next.
And this is from Tesla Motors, which, by the way, is probably the only proper use of that terminology.
The name Tesla. Yeah, no, Motors. Tesla Motors. Yeah, all right, because Nikola Tesla invented the AC induction motor, which is what these guys use.
And by the way, all their cars have motors. None of them have engines.
That is correct.
And the other two car companies at least have correct names that I can remember is FCA for Fiat Chrysler automobiles and Porsche Cars North America.
Yeah, PCNA. Yeah, well, there was Jaguar Cars North America well. Yeah, they were the same thing. There was another electric car company that I think did not fare as well as Tesla, but was well-named. It was Faraday. Because Michael Faraday was an early electrical researcher.
And they named a unit of measure in electrical work after him. Farad.
Yeah, the Farad. Yeah.
It's got to do with the capacitance of a capacitor.
Or condenser, just to confuse things.
Yes, I don't know what it makes smaller. I have no idea.
The condensance, there it goes, my chair just dropped again.
You've been condensed.
Yeah, I sure have. Anyway, when you think about what Tesla's talking about, and I don't want to get into the driverless possibilities of it right now. I'm just talking about it as a truck that somebody can get in and drive. It's got a lot going for it because when you think about it, first of all, the four electric motors, they're in the four wheels that are underneath the fifth wheel. The four pairs of wheels.
Where normally where you would find the differentials in a tractor,
that's where
they're located.
Yeah. And of course, there's all that room in something this big to put in enough batteries that you can get a 400, 500 mile range is what they're talking about.
A 700 horsepower diesel engine and transmission takes up a lot of room.
Absolutely. So that space is vacated. When you think about the characteristics of an electric motor, it's got great torque. It's full torque at just turning. Turning.
You have to turn to get torque, so it has none at zero.
But that means that the power is there right from the get-go, which means, of course, you hear tractor-trailer drivers talking about their 18-speed Road Ranger. You don't got to shift this thing.
Well, I don't know.
At least not that way.
Yeah, but I don't know if shifting, if they put a transmission and...
Like high ranges and low ranges.
It give them some advantage to climbing or fuel.
Flat level.
Economy. If it could. Because obviously one speed transmission can't cover everything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But at any rate, it is nonetheless simplified that way. It is simplified in all of the operating gear that's in it. There's just so much less to go wrong. And think of the other thing in diesel trucks.
When you're behind one.
Well, yeah, there's that. But there's also when you are in one and all that vibration from the diesel that's not there when you've got electric motors going behind you.
But... It's amazing how when you're next to a brand new tractor trailer,
how much smoother they are.
Smoother and quieter they are than one that's been on the road for 20 years.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. They don't all start off noisy.
True, but I'm convinced we're going to see tons of these Tesla trucks because there is that aspect where it's easier on the driver, and we're talking about with drivers in them. I'm sure it's going to be easier on the driver, and the operating costs, according to the figures published by Tesla, are way, way down. Now, think about the other thing. As you mentioned earlier, there's a maximum of 10 hours that a driver can be going continuously, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the range on these trucks is 500 miles. You're not going to take it all the way to the extent of the range, but let's say if you go the 500 miles, all right, at 50 miles an hour, that's 10 hours of driving. More likely, they're going to go closer, let's say, 400 miles at 50 miles an hour. They're on the road for 8 hours. Well, you know what? Nobody drives for 8 hours steady. They got to go to the bathroom. They got to eat. And according to Tesla, they're going to have the superchargers at truck stops, which makes perfect sense. Yeah. And when you're a trucker and you're at a truck stop, you probably do things like have a meal and take a shower. You know.
Here's the thing, though, that a lot of people don't realize. If you're traveling along the highway at highway speed, 65, 75, that kind of thing, and you're going for a long period of time, check what your average speed is. It always seems to be around 50.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, this just looks like a winning combination.
So,
and
50,
yeah.
10 hours.
Yeah, 500 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I say, I don't think they're going to go to the extent of it, because it could be that that place that you're going, and by the way, that's max conditions, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes there are things that slow it down. But it really is an interesting idea, and I think Musk has a winner here. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining Drive Through Radio this week. If you like today's episode and you want to listen to it again, our podcasts are online at 790business.com. Thank you, Brett, for a great show, and we'll be back here at the same time next Saturday.
You bet. And by the way, I'm going to add a little something. Don't forget to check your mirrors, signal your turns, and look out for cross traffic. We'll see you.
Yeah.